Welcome and thank you for everybody that has come for the Windows 7 presentation. We are going to get started right now. What I'm going to do is first I'm going to give you a demonstration of some of the things in Windows 7. And then after that we'll take some questions. If anybody's got anything they would like me to show them after that, I will be more than happy to do that. Alright, I'm going to lock my talk key down and we'll get started. All right. Okay. For those of you who are not running Windows 7 just yet, Windows 7 is a beta of the latest operating system released by Microsoft. It is the successor to Windows Vista that was released in early 2007. The Windows 7 beta was released in January of this year and has currently been in beta now a little over 2 months, and there are several million people worldwide using the beta. It's been very, very popular. I think Microsoft underestimated by far how many people wanted to use the beta. There have been various leaks of different builds of the beta out on some of the websites that people have been downloading. What I'm going to demonstrate for you tonight here is the build 7000, which was what was actually released by Microsoft to everybody to beta test back in January. What is likely to happen is in supposedly May, the release candidate for Windows 7 will be released for the public to test. What the release candidate is, and I guess I'll tell you what the release candidate is, and then I'll tell you what the beta candidate is. But the release candidate is essentially what everybody will see here later in the year once the product is commercially released to the public. It's basically just a dry run, a dress rehearsal of the product in its final form to let people test it to see if there are any major flaws in it. From what I've heard, this is most likely going to happen in May. From a lot of the leaks and rumors that I've heard, could happen maybe in late April, possibly. One thing I did read is that the release candidate will function from when it's released up till June 1st of next year. So that'll give everybody a long time to try it. What the beta is, and what I'm running here, is a not, you know, ready for release. It's just simply a feature complete release of the operating system. All the major features that will be in Windows 7 are basically here in the beta. There'll be some changes between the beta and the release candidate from what I've read, but not a whole lot. Basically what I'll show you here is exactly, you know, what you'll see. The beta will function up to August 1st of this year. For those of you who are interested, if you can still get the image from anybody, I think you can still get keys from Microsoft for it. I'm not sure anymore. The official release stopped early February, where they stopped issuing it. But, you know, somebody might have one you could use if you're really interested in installing it. I won't talk too much about it. The installation. The installation of the program is essentially the same as it was for Vista. So the steps that you took to install Vista, for those of you who are running Vista, steps are the same. Not too much different from XP. You know, a little bit of changes here and there, but still no unattended installation, you know, with speech, unfortunately. So, you know, you either have to have eyeballs to, you know, do this, or like myself here, what I did is I went from my Vista, stuck the disk in, ran the first part of the install through JAWS, and then let it go on another partition. And what I do is dual boot here, and I'm currently in the Windows 7 partition of the computer. So that's one way you could do an install if you had the disk. If you had Vista or XP on your system, you could stick the Windows 7 disk in, and the first part of the installation does speak with JAWS and will get you through far enough on it. So once it does reboot, it'll just do its thing automatically up to the point to where it's ready to start. Now, the only problem you may have is if Windows 7 doesn't see your sound card, and you know, you're still not going to have sound support there to bring up Narrator, unfortunately. What I do here in that instance is I run a USB sound card that is natively recognized by 2000 XP, Vista, and Windows 7. So, you know, that's one nice thing to have, you know, if you're trying to do things like this. All right. Well, basically what I'm going to do here now is I'm just going to start showing you some things in Windows 7. I am using JAWS 10 build 1139, which up until yesterday was the most recent build of JAWS. JAWS does not officially support Windows 7, but as you will see here, generally it works very well. The same is true for Window Eyes. Window Eyes users have reported that Window Eyes 7 and 7.01 work very well with Windows 7, with few exceptions. And System Access 3.0 and NVDA users have also reported that they are able to use their screen readers on Windows 7. The only notable exception I've seen to this is, unfortunately, the 64-bit version of JAWS 10 will not work on JAWS 7 for some reason right now. So, as long as you're running the 32-bit build, of Windows 7, you can run the 32-bit build of JAWS and be fine. Okay, enough of that. I'll start showing you some things here. I'm at the desktop.
Great.
And basically, the desktop is going to be exactly the same as it is in Vista, or for that matter, pretty much the same as Windows XP. You know, you have all your icons here.
Rick 1 of 17.
Rick is my documents folder, or equivalent to what my documents would be in XP. In Vista and later releases, it was just shortened to documents, or on the desktop, you'll just see the user's name, and in my case, that would be Rick, and that points to my documents.
Computer.
My computer in XP was also shortened in Vista and later, and continues on here in Windows 7 to just be computer.
Network.
And this is network, which is equivalent in XP to your network places.
Recycle bin.
And the same old recycle bin that everybody knows and loves. All right.
Tab, start button.
And then we come to the start button. If you're an XP user, one of the biggest differences you will notice in Vista and Windows 7 is the option that when I hit the start button here,
space, menu, search box, edit, search programs and files,
we immediately come up to a search box where you can start looking for either programs to run or things to do. Say I wanted to go to control panel, I could simply type here
control panel,
and on a list of options it immediately comes up to control panel. If you're not used to using this, it can be a bit tedious, but once you're used to using the search box, actually, for a long time in Vista, I used just the classic view that basically is like XP, and I didn't use the search box at all, but Here with Windows 7, since you're not going to have a classic view like you did in Vista or XP, you're just going to have the Windows 7 view, I've kind of tried to start getting used to it, and I've actually found that it's pretty useful for, you know, getting to certain places. Like, you know, if you wanted to get to a Windows update or something, you could start typing in Windows update here, and it would come up, and you could just go to it. All right, and then...
Programs, toolbar, E.
If you arrow up out of this, you have your programs group.
Control panel.
Oops.
Programs, toolbar, E. Enter. Leaving menus, Ctrl-Start menu, search results and programs, send feedback. Libraries button. Control panel.
Oops, that gets stuck every once in a while here in Windows 7. I tried to go into the programs menu here. Let me get out of this.
Escape. Menu, search by all programs, sticky notes, all programs, submenu. Windows Live closed, 30 of 30, W.
Okay, and I can arrow up and down through here and go to the various programs menus that are in Windows 7.
Back submenu, B, search box edit, search default programs, one, desktop gadget gallery, 1, 2 of 30, D. Gold Wave Help, 1, Gold Wave Manual, 1, 4 of 30, G.
Some things that I've installed here, such as Gold Wave.
Gold Wave Setup, 1, Gold Wave, 1, Internet Explorer, 1, 7 of 30, I.
Internet Explorer, Windows 7 beta, uses a beta of Internet Explorer 8, which for Vista and XP has now actually been officially released to the public. The IE 8 on Windows 7 is still beta, unfortunately, so there might be some slight differences there.
Send feedback, 1, 8 of 30, S. Windows DVD Maker, 1, 9 of 30, W.
And then we have things, some of the little programs that Windows has for Vista and Windows 7, such as the DVD Maker, which allows you to take your videos from various sources, such as the Media Center, things like that, and allows you to make DVDs. It's actually a quite accessible program, not hard to use at all, and I've made several DVDs with it in Vista.
Windows Fax and Scan, 1, 10 of 30, W.
Okay, we'll have the ability to send faxes. If you have a scanner in Windows 7, it's a program that is actually just built in, and you don't have to do anything special to get to it. Like I know in Vista and in XP, you have to go to Windows Components and tell it to install. In Windows 7, it's actually just here.
Windows Live Mail, 1, 11 of 30, W.
Windows Live Mail is what basically Microsoft is trying to get everybody to use these days. In Windows 7, there will no longer be an email client shipped with the operating system. And that's kind of got a lot of people worried. You know, Windows Mail in Vista was essentially the same thing as Outlook Express in XP, basically the same functionality and everything, and if you could use Outlook Express, you would have no problems using Windows Mail. Just had a few little extra features added to it. But in Windows 7, unfortunately, there is not going to be any email program at all. So what you have to do is use a third-party email program, such as Outlook, if you're an Office user, or Thunderbird if you're a Firefox Mozilla user. And Microsoft also now has an offering which they call Windows Live Mail. A lot of you have probably used this already in one form or another on Vista and Windows XP. And if you're like myself, you've found it mostly to not be working overly well. It's not very accessible, in my opinion. Had a lot of problems with it, and I don't know if this is something that JAWS or the other screen readers are going to be able to correct, but it's going to become quite important in Windows 7 without any a built-in email client.
Blank.
Oops, wrong button.
Windows Live Messenger, 1, 12 of 30, W.
And there's Windows Live Messenger.
Windows Media Center, 1, 13 of 30, W.
Windows Media Center is built into Windows 7, just like it is in Vista. Unlike in Windows XP, where you had to buy the Windows XP Media Center Edition separately in Windows Vista, and Windows 7 Media Center is built into the operating system in the Home Premium version and above. Not the business, not the Vista Business Edition, though. It's not in the Starter Edition or the Business, but it is in Home Premium and it is in the Ultimate. And some people have had a lot of success at using that with the TV tuner cards, you know, built into their systems, which will allow you to record and watch TV shows. And some people have reported that to be fairly accessible. I have really not used it here, so I really can't say.
Blank. Windows Media Player 1, 14 of 30, W.
Windows Media Player that ships in Windows 7 will be version 12. And I'll show you here shortly how that is used. It's pretty much like Windows Media 11. Not a whole lot of differences.
Windows Update 1, 15 of 30, W.
And you have Windows Update, which is essentially the same thing as it is in Vista, where it's just where you go into Control Panel, Windows Update, and go out and look for updates. This is somewhat different than it is in XP, but not tremendously different. And I'll show an example of that here in a little bit.
XPS Viewer 1, 16 of 30, X.
This is a new feature in Windows 7, and I'm not really familiar what this does right now.
Accessories closed, 17 of 30.
And then here's our basic accessories, just basically the same things that you have in XP and Vista, with a few exceptions.
Administrative tools closed, 18 of 30. Avast antivirus, CCleaner closed, Epson scan closed, extras and upgrades closed, games closed, 23 of 30.
And then you have various games.
Level 1, games open, 13 items. Chess Titans 2, 1 of 13, C.
Some of these games, as in Vista, are actually fully accessible. The Chess Titans isn't one of those, unfortunately. But a lot of the games that you had in XP are in Vista and Windows 7, such as the Solitaire, the FreeCell, Minesweeper, things like that, Mahjong. And they are actually accessible now.
FreeCell 2, 2 of 13, F. Games Explorer 2, 3 of Hearts 2, 4 of 13, H.
Hearts is accessible.
Internet Backgammon 2, 5 of 13, I. Internet Checkers 2, 6 of 13, I. Internet Spades 2, 7 of 13, I.
I don't think any of the internet-based games are accessible, unfortunately.
Mahjong Titans 2, 8 of 13, M.
Mahjong Titans is accessible.
Minesweeper 2, 9 of 13, M.
Minesweeper is accessible.
More games from Microsoft 2, 10 of 13, M.
And I think these are some extras that you can get in the Ultimate Edition. This, by the way, is Windows 7 Ultimate that I'm demonstrating.
Purple Place 2, 11 of 13, P. Solitaire 2, 12 of 13, S.
Solitaire is accessible.
Spider Solitaire 2, 13 of 13, S.
Spider Solitaire is accessible.
JAWS 10.0 closed, 24 of 30. Maintenance closed, 25 of 30. Malwarebytes Anti-Map OpenBook 8.0 demo closed, 27 of 30. Startup closed, 28 of 30. Winamp closed, 29 of 30.
And basically, you see, this is pretty much similar. It's exactly the same thing in Vista as in Windows 7, but even for XP users, it is very similar to the program's menu in XP.
Windows Live closed, 30.
Okay.
Escape, search box, edit, search programs and files.
Okay, once you're in the search box, if you hit your right arrow key once.
S. Rick, 1 of 10, R.
And you have another list here that you can up and down arrow through that lets you get to different things, such as my documents here.
Documents, 2 of 10, D. Pictures, 3 of 10, Music, 4 of 10, Games, 5 of 10, Computer, 6 of 10, C. Control Panel, 7 of 10, C.
Control Panel.
Default Programs, 8 of 10, D. Devices and Printers, 9 of 10, D. Help and Support, 10 of 10, H.
It's just basically the top places that you typically would go.
S. Search box edit. Search programs and files.
Okay, and then if I right arrow twice from the search field here.
S. Sleep. S.
You get your shutdown options.
Switch user W. Log off L. Log O. Restart R. Sleep S. Switch user W. Log off L. S. Escape leaving. Start button. Menu S. Sleep. Switch user W. Sleep. S. Sleep S.
And you should have a shutdown feature here if you arrow to the right of the search edit three times, but I'm not getting that for some reason.
Escape S.
Okay.
Windows M. Leaving menus. Desktop. Folder view. List view. Recycle bin. 4 of 17.
All right. Some of the differences from Vista and Windows 7 are in the taskbar here.
Tab. Start button. Tab. Internet Explorer button.
One of the major differences in Windows 7 over Vista and especially XP is that they've decided to make the taskbar more like the Macintosh start bar. The dock is what they call it on the Mac. So now in the taskbar, you not only see things that are running, but you also see things that can be run. And to me, this is somewhat confusing because it's not easy through JAWS to tell whether what you're on is something that is currently running.
Blank. Blank. Control-Start menu search Internet Explorer button.
Say Internet Explorer here, which I know isn't running, but you know, you have no way through the screen reader to tell that this is something that can be run versus something that is running. Now, visually, the icon looks slightly different. So I don't know what the screen reader is going to do about this exactly.
Control-Start menu search results and programs button. Windows Media Player button.
Yeah, you know, Media Player isn't running.
Control-Start menu search results and programs button.
But the start menu search results was something that we, you know, had open here a moment ago.
Windows Media Internet Explorer button.
So, that is somewhat of a problem, and I'm not sure how that's going to be resolved. If I tab again.
Tab, users, colon, preview, Jitendra.
Oops, darn it.
Tab, system tray, JAWS for Windows button. Chat text entry,
sorry about that. I was at the wrong keyboard again. I've got two keyboards here, so kind of throws me off.
JAWS for Windows button.
Okay, here in the system tray, we basically get most of the stuff you're used to seeing in Vista and somewhat different than XP.
Avast virus recover. Avast on dash access safely remove hardware button. Action center button. Network local and internet access button.
Oops. And I sometimes get stuck here on this network.
Windows M, desk, tabs, tab, Internet Explorer button, tabs, Avast, Avast, network local digital audio interface, colon, 90% button, 9:07 p.m. clock.
So you see the basic same things here that you would see in XP and Vista. Some of the differences are the, what they call now the Action Center, which is in new in Windows 7, and it's basically an overall system area, security alerts, user account control settings, maintenance, problems, reports and solutions, things like that. Windows 7 is supposed to have a more enhanced repair system, which was started in Windows Vista, where if Vista detected a problem, it would display it to you and go out and try to seek a solution. Windows 7 is supposed to do this much more automatically and is supposed to be much better at doing it. Windows 7 isn't currently near as chatty about alerts as, say, Vista was. You know, Vista and XP would always alert you automatically whether, you know, if your antivirus was running or not, or if your firewall was running or not, and things like that. Those can be quieted down in Windows 7 as to where they're not so verbose, you know, not always popping up all the time, you know, if you don't want them to. Some of the other changes in Windows 7 security over Vista security is the user account control settings that a lot of people don't care for in Vista. In Vista, basically, UAC is essentially on or off. In Windows 7, it has five different levels from 100%, which is basically exactly the same as user account control is in Vista, all the ways down to off. You have two other settings in between that tone UAC down dramatically to where it's not in your face near as much. Okay, before I show any other things here in Vista, like the control panel, I'm going to go through the control panel some and show you some of the differences, things that weren't real accessible in Vista, how they're more accessible in Windows 7. But before I do that, I'm going to unlock my mic here, and I'm going to see if there are any questions out here in the audience.
Hey, Rick, it's Tom. Just letting you know, I got in here, and if you need, you know, anything, just ask.
Hey, Tom. Great to see you. This is Tom Klaus, and me and Tom co-own the Blind Windows 7 mailing list, if anybody is interested. We also co-own the Blind Vista mailing list, if anybody out there is interested. Especially for the Blind Windows 7 list, I'll give you the subscription information here. If anybody is wanting to join that, that's a new growing list where everybody can talk about all things Windows 7. If you want to join, the email address there to subscribe to is blindwindows7, that's all one word, BLINDWINDOWS7 hyphen subscribe, SUBSCRIBE at yahoogroups.com. You'll get a confirmation email back. Simply just do a control R on it if you're using Outlook Express, and then an Alt S to send it, and you'll be automatically subscribed to the list. And that's going to be a great resource for anybody that's you know, wanting to learn more about Windows 7 than perhaps we cover here tonight. All right. Any other questions or comments here? I'll open the mic up for a couple minutes, and then I'll go on from there.
Rick, have you tried recording in Windows 7 yet? Is the getting the what you hear thing giving you grief in Windows 7 like it was in Vista, or what?
Very good question, actually. I believe that's Hammett, right? I haven't recorded yet in Windows 7, but I did notice my drivers did appear to work better in Windows 7. That's one of the next things I plan to do in my next recording series that I don't know if all of you have seen or not, but it's on the Blind Geek Zone website and also on Blind Cool Tech for anybody that's interested. It's the Windows 7 First Look series. There are three parts currently. And as Hammett alluded to, part four is going to go over recording in Windows 7. A lot of people have had troubles in Vista for various reasons in doing recording. And I don't know yet whether it's better, but I am hopeful from what I did see of my drivers that got installed. So hopefully I'll have an answer in the next couple of weeks there.
I do have a question regarding Windows 7, the Windows Media Player. I mean, I don't know if you had a chance to play with it, but do they use the ribbon interface, or is it the state menu bar just like anything else?
Media Player does not use the ribbon. And fortunately, most of the programs in Windows 7 do not use the ribbon. WordPad and Paint, and I know most of us don't care about Paint, but WordPad and Paint do use the ribbon for whatever reason. And I'll go into WordPad here in a little bit and show you that. But no, Media Player does not, and most of the programs do not. All right, take another question or two here, and then I'll go back to demonstrating a couple more things in Windows 7. Okay, all right, I'm going to lock my chat key again here, and I will go over some more of the programs in Windows 7. Okay, we're locked here.
Windows M, desktop, folder view, list view, recycle bin, 4 of 17.
Okay, I'm going to quickly go into control panel, show you a few of the differences between the control panel in Windows 7 and in Vista and XP.
Menu, search box edit, search pro C-O-N-T-O-L, enter. Leaving menus, all control panel items, CP cap.
Okay, in Windows 7...
Participants left paranade, right paran open.
Oh, let me fix that.
Chat text entry cold.
Sorry. In Windows 7, as I said earlier, will not offer a classic view as did Windows 7, or Windows Vista and Windows XP. For whatever reason, they've decided not to have that option. So, in Control Panel, when you bring it up initially, by default, it's in kind of a graphical mode.
Blend.
And I'll show you basically how to change that here.
Action Center Administrate tab, Action Center tab, Autoplay link, tab, Biometric Devices link.
Okay, we're at the top.
Top of file, Biometric Devices link. Shift tab, Autoplay link, Shift tab, Action Center link, Shift tab, CP Category Panel. Shift tab, control panel home link. Shift tab, search box edit. Shift tab, toolbar desktop. Shift tab, Windows sideshow link. Shift tab, Windows Defender link.
Oh, and of course it's not showing at me.
Tab, 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 search box edit. Search tab, control panel home link. Tab, CP category panel. Tab, action center link.
Well, okay. It's not showing me here now since I've changed it over, but basically, if you start tabbing around, you'll see something that will say basically all control panel items. If you select that, you will basically get control panel back up in a list view, which it essentially is here. It's a two-column list, but at least it's not in its graphical mode. And let's see here. Go back up to the top.
Top of file, Action Center link.
Action Center, as I said, is one of the new things in Windows 7, and it's an overall security maintenance system status area that comes with it.
Administrative Tools link. Action Center link.
Okay, and like I said, this is in a two-column list. Let's see here. I think I'll just tab.
Tab, Autoplay link. Tab, Biometric Devices link.
Biometric devices is another one of the new things in Windows 7. And what biometric devices are things that you can hook up to your computer for security, such as thumbprint scanners and things like that.
Tab, clear type text tuner link. Tab, credential manager link.
And credential manager is another new thing. I don't really know much about that yet.
Tab, default location link. Tab, desktop gadgets link.
desktop gadgets is a little bit different in Windows 7 than it was in Vista, and of course XP doesn't have any kind of gadgets, but what Vista introduced was what they called the gadget sidebar, which allowed you to run a bunch of different various little gadgets that told you different things that were along the side of the desktop. And in Windows 7, essentially, the sidebar is gone, but the gadgets remain, and they will now just run on the desktop like regular programs.
Tab, users, colon, tree view, participants, left, paranate, right, oh, shift, tab, chat history, Marcel.
Darn it, hit the wrong key again. That's what I get here for running two keyboards.
Tab, devices and printers, link. Tab, ease of access center, link.
Ease of Access Center in Windows 7 is essentially the same as it is in Vista. No real changes. And if you're an XP user, Ease of Access Center is similar to accessibility options in XP. Just, it's been enhanced quite a bit.
Tab, folder options link. Tab, game controllers link. Tab, home group link.
Home group is new to Windows 7 as well. And it's basically for Windows 7 only. If you have multiple Windows 7 computers in your home or in your network, you can set them up in a group to do to different things. I don't know a whole lot about it. I've not got but one machine here that's running Windows 7, so I haven't been able to really try that much, but that's new.
Tab, Internet Options link. Tab, keyboard link, tab, mouse link, tab, notification area icons link, tab, parental controls link, tab, performance information and tab, phone and modem options link, tab, programs and features link.
Programs and features is the same basically as it is in Vista, and for XP users, this replaces add remove programs.
Tab, regional and language options, tab, sound link, tab, sync center link. Tab, system icons link. Tab, taskbar and start menu link. Tab, troubleshooting link. Tab, Windows card space link. Tab, Windows firewall link. Tab, Windows update link.
And Windows firewall has been enhanced slightly, I believe, since Windows Vista.
Tab, administrative tools link. Tab, backup and restore link. Tab, BitLocker drive encryption link. Tab, color management link. Tab, date and time link. Tab, default programs link. Tab, device manager link. Tab, display link. Tab, feedback link. Tab, fonts link. Tab, getting started link. Tab, indexing options link. Tab, iSCSI initiator link. Tab, location and other sensors link. Tab, network and sharing center link.
The network and sharing center has been enhanced since Windows Vista. Any of you that are running Windows Vista probably kind of knows that the Network and Sharing Center isn't overly accessible to screen readers. You can basically get what you need done, but it's very difficult in JAWS. You have to do a lot of JAWS cursoring and just overall very hard. What I'm going to show you here in a couple of minutes is that Windows 7 has made a lot of strides in accessibility. The Microsoft has made sure that all screens in Windows 7 are accessible. There were quite a few screens in Windows Vista that weren't overly accessible, Network and Sharing Center being one of those.
Tab, chat text entry, colon, edit.
Ah, did it that again. Darn it.
Tab, offline files link. Tab, pen and touch link. Tab, personalization link.
Pen and touch is new to Windows 7. As some of you may be aware, Windows 7 is going to be touchscreen capable. This is an option, however, and not a mainstream use of the product. You know, you'll still be able to use your keyboard and everything. You know, no, don't have to panic or anything, but touch screens will be an option for Windows 7 to do a lot of the things in it.
Tab, power options link. Tab, recovery link. tab, remote app and desktop connections link.
And some of this stuff, I'm not real sure what it is, like the remote apps here.
Tab, speech recognition options link. Tab, system link. Tab, tablet PC settings link. Tab, text-to-speech link. Tab, user accounts link. Tab, Windows Defender link. Tab, Windows Sideshow link. Tab, toolbar desktop split button.
Okay, and I believe we've wrapped back around.
Tab, search box edit. Tab, control panel home link. Tab, CP category panel. Tab, action center link.
Right, and we have wrapped around. So, let's see what to do next. Guess I'm going to network sharing center here and show you some of the differences for Vista users.
End network and sharing center link. Enter. See full map link. Send feedback. Tab. Left parent is computer. Right parent graphic. Rick-PC.
Basically, what the network sharing center does is allow you to access your network that you may have set up in your home, you know, various computers, you know, Windows 7 computers, Vista computers, XP computers. This basically allows you to set up, you know, either Vista or Windows 7 for the various file sharing and printer sharing options you want to do.
Tab, network, graphic, network. Tab, internet, graphic, internet. Tab, connector, disconnect, link. Tab, network, icon, graphic. Tab, network, type, link. Tab, home group, status, link. Tab, connection name link. Tab, set up a new connection or network link.
And we can do various things here, such as set up connections, you know, disconnect from the network, various things like that.
Tab, connect to a network link.
Connect to a network.
Tab, choose home group and sharing options link.
Set up your home group, you know, like I said, if you have multiple Windows 7 machines.
Tab, fix a network problem link.
Repair network problems here, you know, if you have a broken connection or something.
Tab, toolbar desktops, tab, search box edit, search tab, control panel home link, tab, change adapter settings link, tab, change advanced sharing settings link.
Okay, and in Vista, basically everything that's in the advanced sharing link here is what was in the main center on Vista. You know, to do the file sharing and stuff, and I'll go in here right now.
Space, send feedback. Tab, toolbar, desktop, split button. Tab, search box edit, search tab. Tab, what is network discovery link? Tab, turn on network discovery radio button checked, 1 of 1.
You can do things in here like turn on network discovery, whether or not your box is visible to the network. And as you recall, for Vista users, these radio buttons, things like this, weren't at all accessible. Actually, they weren't even radio buttons. They were different graphics links that you had to figure out what they were. And now in Windows 7, they're just simply radio buttons.
Tab, turn on file and printer sharing radio button checked, 1 of 1.
You know, you can set up file and printer sharing here, whether it's on or off.
Tab, what are the public folders link?
You can set up public folders on the system that any of the other computers on the network can see.
Tab, turn on sharing so anyone with network access can open, change, and create files radio button checked, 1 of 1. Tab, change ... link. Tab, turn off password protected sharing radio button checked, 1 of 1.
You can have password protected sharing on your network with Vista and Windows 7. Actually, you can do it with XP, it's just not as easy. Where if somebody wants to log onto your computer to get something, they have to have a, you know, username and a password.
Tab, help me decide link. Tab, allow Windows Home Group to manage home group connections. Left parent recommended, right parent radio button checked, 1 of 1. Tab. Tab, cancel button.
Okay. Now, all of these things that I just showed you here, unfortunately, I can't show you what they're like in Vista, but in the Vista control panel for the network and sharing center, all of this was basically just very, very difficult to use. And this is just one of the things that has been done better in Windows 7. You know, this is all accessible and all very easy to get to.
Cancel button, space, send feedback, see full tab, left parent is computer, right parent graphic, Rick-PC.
Okay, get out of there.
Alt F4, 9:30 p.m. clock.
see.
Windows M, desktop, folder view, list view, recycle bin, 4 of 17. Menu, search box edit, search programs and files, P, command prompt, C.
Oops.
Blank. M, E, D, window I, A, with space. A, Windows, Windows Media Player. Enter. Leaving menus, Windows Media Player, library, 3 view, 3 view, music opened, 3 items, send feedback.
Okay, now I have Windows Media Player 12 up. And just tab through this a little bit and show you that it's basically like Windows Media Player 11.
Tab, service bar. Tab, toolbar, media guide, split button. Tab, primary, list view, comedy, dash, Eddie Murphy, dash, raw. Tab, toolbar, save, list button. Tab, toolbar, list options, button. Tab, basket, playlist, toolbar.
Okay, I'm tabbing through my library settings.
Tab, toolbar, previous, list button. Tab, basket, list view, 0 items. Tab, SV, rewind, seek, FFWD, unnamed, underline, 7 button.
Now, right now, since JAWS doesn't perfectly support everything here, some of these buttons are a little difficult. They're not really labeled well.
Tab, SV, rewind, seek, FFWD, seek, left, right, slider, 0%, right, slash, up, arrow, to increase, comma, left, slash, down, there. Tab, SV, rotate, metadata, tab, shuffle, turn, shuffle, on, button, control, plus, H.
There's our shuffle.
Tab, repeat, turn, repeat, on, button, control, plus, T.
Repeat.
Tab, transport, button, group, play, button, control, plus, P.
There's our play button.
Tab, transport, mute, group, mute, button, F7.
Mute.
Tab, SV, transport, center, volume, left, right, slider, 10%, F9, up, semicolon, F8, down.
And there's our volume slider.
F9. Volume left right slider 10%.
Oops.
75%.
Okay. And we can up and down volume just like we could in earlier versions.
Tab. Mode group switch to now playing button. Control plus 3. Tab. Tab. Root menu button. Tab. Library button. Tab. Breadcrumb menu button. Tab. Music button. Tab. Breadcrumb menu button. Tab. All music button. Tab, basket, tab, play, group, play button pressed. Tab, basket, tab, burn, group, burn button.
And here's where you can burn. You can burn just like you could in previous versions.
Tab, basket, tab, sync, group, sync button.
You can sync.
Tab, organize. Tab, toolbar, view options, split button.
And you should be able to rip, too.
Tab, search, edit, box, edit. Tab, search options.
Okay, but it is somewhat different. Bear in mind that some of the things you see here, you know, will be different, you know, once the screen readers more fully support, you know, Windows 7, which none of them currently do right now. Things like Winamp work just fine here on Windows 7. Most other programs that will run on Vista will run on Windows 7 just fine. There are compatibility modes to run certain things that maybe they needed XP to run on. You know, that still exists in Windows 7 as it did in Vista. Let's see here.
Menu bar, file F. Alt F4.
Get out of that.
Windows M, desktop, folder view, list view, recycle bin, 4 of 17.
But basically, you know, if you're used to using Windows Vista, Windows 7 is going to be very easy to use. There are no major changes from Vista to Windows 7, just, you know, some tweaks here and there. If you're a XP user, you can pretty much see that Windows 7 isn't dramatically different, you know, navigating than XP is. I know a lot of people have concerns that are currently still using XP that, you know, have heard horror stories about Vista. And, you know, as you can see from the demonstration here, that, you know, basically it's not all that different and it's not all that hard to navigate. One of the nice things about Windows 7 over Windows Vista is that the jump from XP to Vista required quite a bit of hardware improvements. A box that would run XP wouldn't necessarily run Vista. You know, you had to have a lot better machine to run Vista than you would for XP. Now, what Windows 7 is promising is that Windows 7 will have a much lighter resource footprint than did Vista, but still, you know, pretty much have all the eye candy and stuff that it that Vista does. I've seen on a lot of the blogs and stuff where people have been using Windows 7 on the new netbooks, which are those little sub-notebooks that are currently running Windows XP in most cases. Vista doesn't run well on hardly any of these currently, and Windows 7 will. It's supposed to run on a lot of different types of hardware that Vista really wouldn't. Should need much less memory to run. Vista currently needs at least 2 gigs to, you know, really run well. Windows 7 isn't supposed to be nearly as needy. Certainly won't need as fast a computer. So, you know, that's definitely going to be nice. All right, I'm going to unlock my talk key here again, and I'm going to take some more questions. And if anybody has anything they would like to see demonstrated here in Windows 7 to wrap up, I'll be more than happy to do that. I don't really have anything else to show, you know, due to time constraints here in the presentation. But if anybody wants to see anything specific, I'll be more than happy to show them that. All right, I'm going to unlock this now, and I'll take some questions.
Hey, Rick, it's Tom, and hi, everybody on the list. The only question I don't know if you had brought up yet or not, since I missed part of this, is the expected release date for this, or either for the release candidate even, or the total release date. I don't know if that's been put out yet.
Rumors are currently saying that the release candidate may be out in May, and there's also speculation that the actual release date for Windows 7 will be right about September, but these are all rumors. Microsoft is being pretty hush-hush. You know, I don't think they want to have people stop buying Vista yet, but clearly the release candidate is going to be out soon from everything I've heard, and I really, really do expect the official Windows 7 release to be just right at the beginning of fall.
Have you tried to network to other operating systems besides, you know, XP and Vista?
No, I haven't. You mean, say, per se, like Linux or, you know, something like Macs or things like that? No. Currently, all I'm running here on my boxes is XP, Vista, and Windows 7. So, unfortunately, no. But I believe it's capable of doing so.
Hi, Rick. It's me, Giovanni. I was wondering, I know in XP and Vista, you can create a password reset disk in case you forget your password. I'm wondering, where do you go in Windows 7, and is it accessible for the user? You know, can you do that with 7?
I believe so. I believe it's still in Control Panel and Users. Let's go take a look real quick. Okay, I'm locked here, and I'm back on the Windows 7 computer.
Menu, search box edit, search programs and files. U-S-E-R, user, user.
And I'm purposely using the search menu just to show you how easy it is to get to various things on the computer without necessarily having to go into Control Panel or going into programs to do it.
Enter. Leaving menus. Title is Alt Tab Control Dash Start Alt Tab Send Feedback Alt Tab Send Feedback Control Panel.
Okay, why didn't that come up?
Alt F4 Desktop Folder Alt Tab Alt F4, shut down Windows, escape, desktop, folder view, list view, recycle bin, 4 of 7, U, S, E, R, S, select users who can use remote desktop, S, select users who can use remote desktop, sample videos, S, videos, videos, toolbar, sample vid.
Okay, this one's being a little bit more contrary.
Sample videos, flower dot, field dot, sample, pictures, pictures, toolbar, E.
All right, well, that's normally easy to do. Let's just go to...
Leaving menus,
panel.
Folder view, list view, recycle bin, 4 of 17. Menu, search, C-O-N-T-R-O, control panel, enter. Leaving menus, alt.
And then I'll go to users.
View, user accounts link. Enter. Create a password for your account link. Send feedback. Tab, change your picture link. Tab, change your account name link. Tab, change your account type link. Tab, manage another account link. Tab, change user account control settings link. Tab, toolbar, desktop, split button, tab, search box, edit, tab, control panel, home link, tab, manage your credentials link, tab, create a password, reset disk link.
Yeah, right there. It's right in control panel and users, and then you tab around till you get to the create the password.
Create a password, reset disk link.
Password reset disk. So, yep, same thing there.
Alt F4. Windows M, desktop.
All right, and I'll unlock for some more questions.
Thank you, Rick. Yeah, that was helpful. It's basically in the same place that it is in Vista. Do you recommend? Because I want to upgrade to Windows 7 and try the beta just like you. Do you recommend? Since I'm using this computer on a daily basis to upgrade, or do you just recommend maybe just not waiting until 7 comes out, or is it too risky to upgrade to 7?
Well, it's not really all that risky to upgrade to Windows 7, but I would say if that's your everyday computer and you don't have another computer to put Windows 7 on, I probably would suggest against doing it. The screen readers are still not 100% perfect, and there are some instances of programs not quite working right with Windows 7. I've had a few programs I've had difficulties getting installed, and I'm sure that's just because of, you know, every time you get a new operating system, there's always some program that doesn't want to run quite right out of the box. So, short answer is, if you've got a second computer you want to play with that can run Windows 7, I'd say go for it. But, you know, unless you're really bleeding edge techie, you know, I wouldn't put it on my one and only everyday machine.
Hi, Rick. I'll throw in one more question before I let the audience. I know I'm taking over the mic here, but I'll just throw in one of my last questions. Is how do I know if my computer can support 7? Is there some kind of... I know for Vista they had some kind of tool where you can check to see if your computer can take Vista. You ran some kind of tool to see if it worked. I was wondering if is there the same thing on it? Is there something like that for Vista for 7 that I can use?
I believe there is I don't have the address. I wish I had the address off the top of my head, but there is the Microsoft Windows 7 website. Might be able to get to it through the Microsoft site itself. I can't remember the address off the top of my head, and I'm sorry. But, yes, there is a Windows 7 website, and I believe there is a Windows 7 advisor there that's essentially the same thing as the Vista advisor was for when you were upgrading from XP. All right, any other questions, or is there anything else that anybody would like me to demonstrate in Windows 7?
Yeah, how about JAWS and Windows 7 64-bit for me?
We've already talked about that, unfortunately. And Tom's one of those users that attempted to put JAWS 10 64-bit on his brand new Dell 518 system that he just got with Vista 64-bit, and... Unfortunately, was able to not do that. I don't know what the problem is, but unfortunately, right now, JAWS 64-bit version can't run on Windows 7 64-bit for whatever reason. Currently, System Access 3.0 can run on the 64-bit version of Windows 7 without any problems. System Access, or Saratech, has actually been putting updates out, tweaking its use in Windows 7, I've seen here over the last month. So while Freedom Scientific and GW Micro may not be officially talking about Windows 7, and actually Saratech isn't either, but they are apparently moving forward on making their screen reader fully functional with Windows 7. NVDA will also work on the 64-bit version of Windows 7, I've heard, without any issues. So, you know, there are other options. Unlike when we went to Vista from XP, you know, we didn't really have any support until the point Vista was out or shortly after. Here with Windows 7, you can see that we clearly will have decent support even if the screen readers don't officially support the product yet. I think by the time JAWS 11 comes out in the fall, and I'm sure GW Micro will have a major update at some point, you know, to support Windows 7 as soon as it comes out. And I'm absolutely 100% sure that Saratech will support Windows 7 right out of the gate. But, you know, things are definitely getting better for us. You know, Windows 7 is definitely going to be usable, you know, regardless, you know, right from day one.
Recorder.
Okay, Giovanni, you were trying to talk, and all I heard was a buzzing noise. You want to try that again?
All right, yep. Here we go. My microphone disconnected once again. But, yeah, I mean, I just wanted to throw in a comment, and my comment was that I hope this works out. This is good news, because I remember when we tried to, you know, when we got Vista running, we had to deal with a couple betas of JAWS 8 in order, you know, before we actually got a full release of 8 that supported Vista. And I think that's important too, that, you know, that's going to be good. So hopefully we have out of the box support for 7. And just as another side note, I was wondering, I'm running a 32-bit Vista system here, and I'm wondering if I decide to run a 64-bit, will it work, or does it depend on certain things? And, you know, because I have a 32-bit system on here, I won't be able to run a 64-bit.
Is talking.
Somebody was trying to talk. I don't know who it was there after you, Giovanni. What processor does your machine run? Do you know?
I believe it's an ATM processor, 6100 something. Yeah, that's what processor I'm running, I'm pretty sure.
You mean AMD?
Correct. AMD Turing 64. Something like that. It's 8. That is correct.
User's colon preview.
Yes, I believe that is a 64-bit capable processor, And yes, you should be able to run Vista 64-bit or Windows 7 64-bit on that. I'm almost positive.
Do you know what are the differences? I mean, I'm sorry, we're getting off topics. Off topic, I do apologize, Rick. I'm sorry, but what are the differences between 32 and 64-bit systems?
Oh no, that's a good question, actually. And I'll talk about a little bit of what's going to be supported and what's not. The difference between 32-bit and 64-bit systems essentially is 32-bit operating systems are limited to 4 gigs of memory address range for their hardware and RAM address space. So on Windows XP and on Windows Vista 32-bit and Windows 7 32-bit, your maximum amount of RAM that you can have in the system is 4 gig minus whatever hardware would map out, things like your video card and things like that. So essentially, you top out at about 3.5 gigs, and on some systems as low as 3 gigs. With 64-bit versions of the operating systems, you no longer have that limit. You can go beyond the 4 gig limit, so programs can run 6 gigs, 8 gigs, 32 gigs, and up and up and up. Supposedly, 64-bit programs, depending on what they do, can run faster than 32-bit programs, since the processor is addressing double the memory at any given time. But other than that, there is no huge difference. Basically, the biggest thing you're going to see is you'll see systems with more than 4 gigs of RAM.
Is it true that the more computers are starting to come with 64-bit versions of, now Vista on them now? I heard that that was the case here, especially here in the U.S. I'm not sure if in other countries, but is that true as well?
Yes, that's very true, especially over the last several months. More and more computers have been coming out in the stores with Vista 64-bit on them, and that is just going to continue to happen. Matter of fact, Windows 7 will be the last operating system released by Microsoft that will even support 32-bit processors and memory and everything. So, after that, you're going to have a 64-bit capable machine. That's basically why you've seen all of a sudden the support this year from Ceratec and GW Micro and Freedom Scientific and, some of the other places like IA Squared, for Zoom Text and stuff like that, that have started supporting 64-bit, because basically they had no choice. The machines are coming in the door with Vista 64 on them, and they simply had no choice but to update at this point. And that's going to continue to, over the next couple of years. And like I said, there'll become a point to where you won't be able to run a new operating system on a computer that's only capable of running a 32-bit OS.
Just out of curiosity, does that mean things, because I haven't seen yet, or at least I haven't checked, like Accessible Podcatcher, I haven't seen a 64-bit version of that. Will that not run in a 64-bit unit, or what?
Well, you don't have to have 64-bit programs only in a 64-bit OS such as Vista or Windows 7. It is perfectly capable of running 32-bit programs still. I don't know of a lot of 64-bit programs yet, except things that are very, very specialized, such as audio production, video production, programs that are very, very math intensive, such as like Adobe Photoshop, things like that, that are currently taking advantage of 64-bit OSs. But Windows 7 64-bit and Vista 64-bit are going to be, always capable of running your standard 32-bit programs just fine.
Yes, Rick. One more thing. Can I run the 64-bit version of JAWS on a 32-bit system? I mean, that's kind of a dumb question, maybe, but I thought maybe it'll clear. Maybe some folks might try to, you know, hit the wrong download link or something like that. Just wanted to maybe clarify for me and for probably other people too. I'm wondering, you know, I don't think you can, but I'm not sure. Maybe since 64-bit does support a lot of 32-bit programs, can you then run the 64-bit JAWS on the 32-bit systems?
Simple answer is no. 32-bit JAWS runs on 32-bit OS, and a 64-bit version of JAWS will run only on a 64-bit operating system. That's pretty easy answer. And starting with JAWS 11 that comes out, you won't even have to select which one of these you're running. It's supposed to be automatic. It'll be one package, and it will know whether you're running on a 32-bit or a 64-bit system, and it will act accordingly. Only JAWS 10 currently, you know, do you have to download the right version. And so, you know, once 11 comes out, you won't even have to worry about that. But, you know, no, that would be the answer to that question.
Thanks a lot, Rick. And does anyone know here, or you, Rick, as far as, you know, are there any bugs in the 64-bit JAWS? I only noticed they only released one beta for the 64-bit systems. I'm wondering, did anyone report any bugs in the 64-bit system, or is everything just working just as fine as it is in the 32-bit system?
I can't answer that here. I don't run the 64-bit version. But, Tom, if you're still connected here and listening, I know you are, and you can speak about that.
Yeah, I'm here, and unfortunately, some ding-dong rung my phone just when the question was asked. Could you please ask the question again, and I should be able to help you.
Not a problem. Sometimes that always happens. It happened to me just recently when Rick was answering one of my questions. I noticed that Freedom Scientific only released one beta of the 64-bit systems. The reason why I'm asking all these questions is because I'm thinking of getting a 64-bit system and putting more RAM on this laptop and getting it to run pretty fast. But I noticed that FS only released one beta of the 64-bit systems. And then they decided to make it an official release. I'm wondering, are there any bugs in the 64-bit system, or is it all working just as well as it's working on the 32-bit side?
Okay, there's only one bug that I have found that's strictly for 64-bit, and that's dealing with Winamp, where you can't tell the length of the track, how much time is left on the track, or anything like that. Keeps coming up and saying 0 minutes, 0 seconds, no matter what you do. Other than that, it's been pretty darn stable for me. There's a new update out for JAWS, but I don't think it'll pertain to any of the little bugs that we have even turned in for the JAWS 10 and 32-bit. Because I have a laptop running 32-bit. I got what I'm talking on now is a little Acer netbook running XP. I also have then my desktop, which is running the 64-bit Vista and 64-bit 7, which unfortunately JAWS will not even gain any focus on at all. You can't get any focus, so that's why that's worthless there. I wish they would have addressed that. And I run System Access on that 7. And then today I just got a Mac Mini in the mail that I bought off of somebody, and now I get to rip my hair out trying to learn that. But back to your question, with the 64-bit, there's really no major problems at all with it.
Thanks a lot. Your name is Tom, correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. Does anyone have an idea what the new update contains? I really couldn't find anything on the website. I just saw it posted, and It's kind of funny because yesterday morning I updated to the 11.39 release, and then next thing I knew I saw in the message on the blind Geekzone list that that a new version came out. I said, wow, and I had just updated to the 11.39 release. I decided to just install it using the build because I noticed that there were a lot of problems with the updating portion of it. So does anyone know what's actually new on the new release? Should I just stay with 11.39 or update to the new release?
It's only a couple of little things, actually. It's nothing significant. There's an update to Yahoo version 9. There are a couple, I guess, website fixes for Google Mail. And I believe they said something about a couple of dictionary entries, but really it's nothing very major. And I don't suppose it will hurt to upgrade to it.
Well, thank you very much. This presentation was really good. I have two questions. One is, can a 32-bit program run on 64-bit computer? And second one is for you, Tom. Was that WinAmp 64-bit or 32-bit? Over.
Okay, I'll answer the first question, then I'll let Tom answer the second question. The answer is, in almost all cases, yes, 32-bit programs in almost all cases can run on a 64-bit OS.
Okay, I missed that second question. I didn't quite get it. You broke up a little bit. Try that again.
I asked whether that WinAmp was 64-bit or 32-bit. Over.
That's a 32-bit WinAmp that I know of. I don't know, honestly, if there is a 64-bit out there. I believe there's still 32. Rick, can you shine any light on that at all?
No, I believe WinAmp is just a 32-bit operation, a 32-bit application currently. I'm not aware of any 64-bit versions of WinAmp out there.
Yeah, I also think so, but I was thinking of your problem where you don't get a time length of a track and anything else. What I can say is that maybe because of that DLL file, they perhaps haven't updated that file for a particularly 64-bit system to work, or there may be other reasons too. But if you, Rick and Giovanni, remember, I was telling you something about that DLL file and some other things where some COM automation and other things. So there may be the case for this thing to not work. Over.
Hi, Tratenda. Yes, I do remember we talked about that. If you don't mind contacting me on Skype after this, if you have some time, over.
Yeah. My Skype is on, and you can call me whenever you want. Over.
Okay. Let's see if we have any more questions from. Sorry, my mic went out there for a second. Let's see if we have any more questions from anybody else here that hasn't asked a question yet. And then after that, if nobody has anything else they want to see, we'll wrap this up.
Yes, Rick, one more thing. I got a phone call, and I missed your... Can you really quickly, briefly go through the differences in Media Player 12 and 11. I'm sorry, I do apologize. I got an important phone call and I was connected, but I had to leave for a minute, and I wasn't able to catch that part, if you don't mind.
Basically, there's no real big, huge differences. I just was basically showing that, you know, the screen readers didn't quite read everything with it just yet. But essentially it, you know, just wanted to show that, you know, it was workable. You know, I didn't try to play anything in it, but, you know, just basically tabbed around it. So, I don't think there's any real point in going back through that, but you can certainly listen to it on the recording, you know, when I post that up. All right, any other questions? Anything by anybody that hasn't asked a question yet?
I guess there isn't, Rick. I'm going to shut this down myself here, but ring me when you're shut down, if you would, please. Okay, and appreciate seeing everybody here. Like I said, this is Tom Co-owner of the Blind Vista, the Blind Windows 7, and also the Blind BST list with Rick here. Talk to you all later.
Tom, hopefully you don't get off before you get this. Can you send me the email address to subscribe to your lists? That would be good. Or if you could say them out loud so we all can hear them, that would be great. Or Rick, if you know them. Thanks.
Okay, Blind Vista is Blind Vista, one word, BLINDVISTA dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Blind Windows 7 is just that. It's Blind Windows and the number 7, all one word, dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Blind BST is blind dash B as in boy, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. So they're all pretty easy. The only one that's really different is the Blind BST. It's blind dash BST. You know, B as in boy, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, then dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Thank you, Tom. Would you mind putting them in the text chat or something so that I can copy them and paste them somewhere? I know. My brain sometimes just doesn't work the way I wish it did sometimes.
Okay, Rick, that's on you.
Yeah, I'll do that here. When we get finished, I'll put those in the text. All right. Anybody else with anything else? And if not, we'll get this wrapped up.
Any new stuff in 7, you know, like how Vista has like all the cool surround sound stuff and the thing and the Phantom speaker stuff. Anything new there in 7, or is it just still the same as Vista?
I'm not aware of any of that off the top of my head, unfortunately. And there's nothing in the beta release, as far as I know, like that. I would suggest, if anybody is really interested in a little more fully going over the new things in Windows 7, like I said on my website, www.blind-geek-zone.net, you can listen to the 3-part series there about Windows 7 that I've done, and that goes on for about, I think it's about 2 hours long right now. And like I said, I'm going to be doing a fourth and maybe a fifth part here pretty soon. That's also on Blind Cool Tech for anybody that wants to go there, and that's www.blindcooltech.com, and the files are there as well. And that'll give you a little bit more information on what's new in Windows 7 that I couldn't, you know, cover here tonight due to the time limitations of the presentation, you know, with the Q&A and everything. All right, one more question, maybe two more, and we'll wrap it up.
Rick, I think we are done. I think that you've answered plenty of questions, and I, you know, wanted to say thanks a lot. It's been great help. You've kind of, I thought you were, first of all, really brave to even try and install 7. I mean, thankfully you got even JAWS to install and things like that. And, I mean, it could have gone so much worse. You could have actually had JAWS not responding. You could have had something like Tom's issues with his 64-bit Windows 7. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't have not done it, myself, and you're getting me to think about doing it on probably a computer that I might be able to play with for a little while. So thanks a lot for the presentation. It was a lot of help, and I think we had a pretty good day today. We had 2 presentations in 1 day. We did pretty good. So thanks a lot, Rick.
Okay, well, I guess that's going to wrap this up. We didn't get a real large crowd, but I do appreciate everybody that showed up. I hope what I demonstrated to you was interesting. I hope everybody liked what they saw in Windows 7, and hope it'll make you want to potentially use Windows 7 when it comes out here later on in the year, or when the release candidate comes out, hopefully late next month or early in May. And it was nice getting to talk with everybody here this evening, and appreciate, like I said, everybody coming in. Hopefully we'll do something again real soon. I appreciate Giovanni doing the presentation on OpenBook 8 that was prior to this presentation. And as I said then, anybody here or anybody listening to the recording, since it will be posted up on the Blind Geek Zone here tonight or tomorrow, anybody interested in hosting their own presentation here in the chat room, the chat room is open 24/7. And I would welcome anybody doing that. All I ask is that you email me. And my email address is rharmon, R-H-A-R-M-O-N, at blind-geek-zone.net. Email me with what you want to host and the time that you would like to host it. And then I'll be happy to put that information out on the website and on the Blind Geek Zone mailing list. You can also, after that, announce it on whatever list you would wish to do so. And then you can have a presentation here in the room. And like I said, that's open to everybody. I'm not sure what the long-term status of the room is going to be after the 30 days here that I'm using it for free. But one way or another, I'm going to continue doing something, and I would encourage anybody wanting to, give a presentation, to contact me, and we can work something out. All right. Once again, thank you for everybody that attended tonight, and hopefully we'll do this again soon. This wraps up this presentation, and you're all free to sit here and talk if you would like. I'll stop my recording now, and I'm going to be leaving. I have other things to do, but like I said, you all are welcome to sit here and talk with each other if you'd like. And we'll see you again next time. Thank you very much, everybody.